You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a happy welcome back to Charlie from Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Franklin Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden. By the way, in your stead was our good friend Dennis Flanagan.
Who I hear did I don't want to say the word amazing, but he did a job.
Pretty good job, you know. We had a lot of fun, the callers were very kind, welcoming him.
Did he know any of the answers to the questions, or did he just make them up?
I think he just made him up.
Probably.
To be honest with
you. Knowing Dennis.
Yeah. But listen, we'll talk more about the Philadelphia Flower Show, which you were away for.
Last weekend. That's right.
But normally we do a little kick around as far as the events, but I got to cover the phone numbers. My job is to get the phones lit up. Okay. In Toronto, if you'd like to talk to Charlie Dobbin here in the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, here are the numbers: 416-360-0740. 40 in Toronto, and then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let our operator, Sebastian, know, and he'll let me know. And then just before you get to the airways, you get the welcoming bell.
Garden wings.
Garden wings. You got it.
Yes. Okay. Don't be shy.
What do you got,
Join
Charlie?
In anytime. Well, I just want to remind you, the Philadelphia Flower Show is still on.
Yeah.
I was there last weekend. It is on. Tomorrow's the last day. Mm-hmm. So if you can get there, if you're anywhere in the area of Philadelphia, I highly recommend you do go. For more information, check out theflowershow.com.
Okay.
This Monday, March 11th, 8 o'clock in the evening, the Agent Court Garden Club will be meeting at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd in Toronto. The guest speaker is Kathy Cosma, all about pollinator gardens. Kathy Cosma is a beekeeper. She knows her bees, so she knows all about pollinator gardens as well. So that would be a good one to attend. There is a free seed exchange. There's lots of yummy desserts and fun people to chat with. Everyone is welcome. On Wednesday, March 13th, the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society meets a free event with speaker and author Laura, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Mrosovsky. My apologies.
Good attempt.
My apologies. I'm sure that was wrong. Addressing growing food on balconies, small spaces, and elsewhere. Excellent. Very trendy topic.
So appropriate, yeah. Yep.
Doors open at 7 o'clock. Refreshments, of course, are included. Everyone is welcome at the Scarborough Village Recreation Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. And then on Wednesday, March 14th, Donna Finice will present Gardens of Sicily for the Riverdale Hort Society. It's at the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth, 7 p.m., a very friendly group. I recommend going to that one, too.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the announcement for today?
That's all I got.
That's all she wrote.
Okay. Other than to spend the next hour telling you how much fun I had last weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and how appropriate is it that our first caller we're going to get to momentarily is Jim from Philadelphia.
Excellent.
So we'll say hi and check in with Jim and the rest of you folks here on Zoomer Radio's Garden Show, broadcasting live and direct on this beautiful Saturday morning, live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, let's get in biz here and check in with our first caller, who happens to be from Philadelphia. And there's Jim.
Wonderful.
Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
So you were just here, Charlie?
I was. Did you go to the show? Did you get to the show?
Yes, and it was as gorgeous as it always is. I love it every year. It is just spectacular.
I agree. It was very spectacular. I could, like I said earlier, I could go on for the next hour about all the details. I was lucky I got to go twice. I was there all day Sunday and most of Monday. So I got into every corner. I saw every exhibit, examined things closely, took tons of pictures. It was so much fun.
Did they let you get into, like, the bones down back behind the scenes of places?
You know, Probably they would have if I had gone on the tour with the other members of my tour group. They went on the Friday before the show opened, and they were taken around by some PR people. I flew in for a dinner time on Friday, so I toured on my own, and there was nothing set up with any of the organizers or any of the staff. So you're right. That was the one thing. It would have been nice to get in.
What sort of things did Charlie miss, possibly?
Oh, no, I've never seen the back behind the scenes. Okay. I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, just from my experience, so many years at Canada Blooms, I have such a good understanding and appreciation for how much work it is to put those shows together.
You know, Charlie was really interesting. Jim, before the show, I was saying, how about the other folks? There are three other people involved in the tour from Toronto. And I said, were they like from the newspaper or what? And interesting, no.
No, they were two of them were lifestyle bloggers, millennial bloggers, which was really interesting.
Really?
I know. So they were there. Thank you very much. Visit Philly. That's who brought us to Philadelphia and looked after us for a couple of days and fed us so well and really did a great job. And then one other woman was a freelance writer and mostly like travel writer more than anything. So yeah, we were all from different perspectives. Maybe that's part of what they're thinking. Right?
Yeah.
Get all the different
generations
and perspectives out there. I was the only horticulturalist or person with real gardening knowledge and interest. They were just like the pretty pictures.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I potted up some tulips just after Christmas, put them in a 6-inch diameter pot, 4 inches deep, filled it 2/3 with potting soil, tucked the bulbs in. Tight, crunched them in together, filled it a little more so that their tops were sticking out.
Sounds perfect.
About a month ago, pulled it out. Charlie, they look like the Walking Dead. The bulbs have pushed out. Their roots have exploded in a container. The tops are 6 inches, were about 3 inches then. So I smashed them back down a little and rewatered. I have it out now. I'm looking at it. Yeah. They're 6 to 8 inches long. They pushed back out of the container. The roots on the bottom are like an overgrown plant just pushing through. What do I do with these? Can they go outside? I've never done this. It's my first time. I didn't expect what I'm seeing.
Yeah, well, they sound like very vigorous bulbs, right? They're doing what they're designed to do. They're growing like crazy. And, of course, keeping in the fridge was important because that was you were tricking them to think that was winter.
Them into dormancy.
Well, no, they're dormant when you put them in.
Oh, right.
So by putting them in the fridge.
Continuing that.
Well, no, it's more than that. It's tricking them to think that winter has happened. And because of winter, now the flower bud has been initiated.
Okay.
When they went into the fridge, only leaves would have come out if you'd grown them. But you cool them down for, 8, 10, 12 weeks in fridge. When I've done this in the past, tulips in pots or any of the bulbs, I've done like you, fill the pot pretty full. I mean, the bulbs do touch each other. One trick I will mention, though, is tulips have a flat side. They're not completely round. If you look down on a tulip, they're quite round, but there's a side that's flat. And if you put the flat side against the edge of the pot, that's the first leaf that comes out, and that leaf will come down and cover the pot for you. So it just makes a nicer display once it grows. But for now, Jim, main thing is keep them in the sunniest, brightest spot you've got in your house. Water as necessary. They should flower. There'll be leaves. If it's all looking silly with roots all over the place and soil, popping out, just put that pot that they're in into an over pot, like what we call a cash pot, something pretty, like a decorative ceramic pot or something. Pop that in just so you're not seeing that mess of soil and roots and everything. And let those stems and flowers come up. Enjoy them. Turn them in the window in the bright spot, 180 degrees every couple of days. Let them grow on after they flower. So you've got green leaves for up to 6 weeks. Water as necessary. And then outside, you can plant them out in the garden at whatever point we're frost-free and the ground is not frozen anymore. And they'll come up in your garden next spring. You can't force them twice.
They're going to be very leggy, I'm guessing, because they're just look like the string beans right now.
Yeah, it's going to come down to light. You can help them stay more compact by increasing the light levels dramatically.
Right, okay.
Okay, if you've got any kind of...
Okay, so I'll get them out now.
Yeah.
I do some crocuses, get them in a window, and see what goes on with them. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and when you had them in the fridge, did you have them in anything, or were they just sitting out on a saucer?
They were in like a beer fridge in the basement, so it doesn't, it got open maybe three or four times that whole time. They were not in a bag. I know you put yours in a bag in a cool spot, but I thought the darkness of the fridge would handle that.
Yeah, the darkness is good, and actually keeping it dark is good. So even opening that fridge three or four times will have had some impact on starting the growth. So that's why I've used like a navy blue or even a green garbage bag and just put it all in that bag. And you should check every month or so, just make sure there's no fungus growing or mold or anything like that. But yeah, the dark bag helps them just not grow.
And that might have been what pushed them a little more. Okay.
I think so, yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay, great. Thanks
for
a lot.
Calling.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Nice to have you in from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's just kind of happenstance.
He's getting to be a real regular caller, that
that's
Jim.
That's super.
I know. I was wondering if he had something to do with me being discovered to buy the Visit Philly.
Yeah, that kind of happened out of
group.
The blue.
It did, but clearly not.
Well, there we are.
That's all that
we are up to our first break time. And
actually, second.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Second break time. And we're going
to
take a little bit of break because our show is next going to be going to Ottawa. Mm. So stick around. Christine on the line will be talking to her in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio. A reminder of those phone numbers in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's get back to those phone lines, and this time up to Ottawa. A lot of hot air up there. Christine.
Woo! Not Christine, though.
Not from Christine. Good morning, Christine. Welcome to the show. Hi, Christine.
Morning.
Where'd she get to? Have we lost her?
Yeah, well, maybe she's going to get a coffee or something.
Could well be. She was hanging on the line there quite some time. Okay, that being the case, all right. Here we have a first-time caller in Mississauga. That's Teresa. There you go, first-time caller, Belle. Nice to have you show, Christine.
Welcome to the show.
Teresa.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Charlie and me. It's nice to be able to get through.
Yeah.
To get through sometimes.
Good idea to call.
I have some clivia plants, and I've had for years and years, and I've broken them down, spread them all over the building to everybody, and they're gorgeous when they come up with that beautiful orange bloom. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of green leaves coming up where the orange bloom it usually comes up, and on top of that, it's... when the bloom finally, if it does bloom, it used to come straight away, way up high,
right.
Above the leaves, and now it sort of hugs closer in.
Right.
I just wondered if there's anything that I'm doing that I should be doing or not doing or.
Two things.
Can you give me any advice on?
Yeah,
on
two things I would suggest because I've had the exact same thing happen with mine as well. So it. We know that clivia likes to be pot bound. So number one, try and leave it in the pot, same pot as long as you can so that really it's a full pot, lots and lots of green growth, obviously, most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly sunny location and consistent water. I'm 99.9% sure that when the flower stem does not elongate, so it does not stand up above and be very showy, instead it's down deep within the foliage, it's got to do with lack of consistent water.
Because really? And I'm telling everybody not to overwater it.
Oh, yeah. No, don't overwater, for sure. Never let it be a soggy plant. When you water thoroughly, obviously let the water drain through to the saucer below. Let it sit in that saucer for 5 or 10 minutes. And if there's still water in the saucer, dump it out. Bright, sunny spot. But then it might be only 7, 8, 9 days later that you're going to do the whole thing again, depending on the temperature and the amount of light the plant is in. My thing is I forget, and my clivia is lucky if it gets watered once a month. And so, sure enough, I got lots of flowers, but where are they? They're way down deep within the foliage.
I'm just dying to see another flower come out because these leaves are just come out in the center. I guess that's where they always did.
Yeah, they always do.
And the flower comes out, right?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. All the new growth on a clivia comes from the center of each of those little plants. And as you recognize, there's multi-plants in the same pot. That's what they do.
Yes,
they send
another one I've got. Yeah.
All the little daughters.
Little plants around the edges.
Yeah. So, yeah. And fertilizer can sometimes, and it is the time of year that we should be starting to fertilize our plants once a month, just a regular all-purpose fertilizer. But the reason I think it's water is because I find that when I say to myself, oh, I haven't seen the blooms on the clivia, and then I go look and they're way down deep. If I water that day, sure enough, those flower stems elongate a good inch overnight.
Really?
Just by watering.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't mean they're up tall enough because I was too slow with the water, but nevertheless, water does make a difference on the height of the flowers.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Good to know, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice to have you with us on a beautiful Saturday morning.
And don't be a stranger.
That's right. Good news. Christine has found her way back to our phone lines from Ottawa. Good morning, Christine.
Hi.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Okay. Charlie, I have a quick question. I brought in 2 red geraniums for the winter. Mm-hmm. How do I get them to flower again?
Where have you got them now?
They're in my living room.
Okay, and are they right in the window?
Yes, right near the window.
And do you have curtains on the window?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Direct light.
Okay, good. And what direction? Do we know which direction the living room faces?
Oh, God.
When do you get sun in the window?
I would say east, Charlie.
So morning sun?
I'm not very good geographically.
No, that's fine.
I think that's it, yes.
Yeah, like right now, is there sun coming in the living room? Yeah,
it's sunny right now.
Right, so that's likely an eastern location.
Yes.
All right, so what I would do, geraniums very much respond to light levels.
Okay.
We've had a very gray winter. We've had a lot of clouds, a lot of snow and rain, etc.
Right.
So that's all the geranium is responding to, is that lack of light.
Okay.
If you can put it in a brighter window, like a southern or western window,
you're
more likely to see some flower buds and flowers in the next month. But if you can't, just leave it where it is. Remember to turn the plant 180 degrees every couple of days. Only water when it's dry.
Right.
And again, you could do some fertilizer once a month starting now.
Okay.
And
yes.
I think you'll find that as the days get longer, and of course we're going to even lose an hour tonight, so just that many more hours of sunshine, flowers will form. It's just really an evidence of the low light levels that we've been having. And sometimes, if you really want those flowers in the winter, get yourself a little grow light.
Exactly.
Consider that.
Charlie.
Okay.
Charlie, I love your program. I listen to it faithfully, and it's so wonderful to have Frank, to have you back on Big Band Sunday night.
Oh, thank you.
I think both of you do a marvelous job.
Well,
thank
bless
you
your
so
heart.
Much. Appreciate it, Christine.
Thanks so very much. I appreciate that, Christine.
I hope the boss is listening.
I'm
looking for a raise myself.
Well, now, hey, once again, we go international, this time to Derby, New York. Got to find out where that is exactly. Anne is on the line. Good morning, Anne.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Derby's about 25 miles south of Buffalo.
Oh, okay,
excellent.
Gotcha.
Thanks for calling. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I'm a second-time caller.
Oh, okay. All right, good stuff.
Okay, Charlie, welcome back.
Thanks.
This is a geranium question.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in my about 15 geraniums from outside, and I've been growing them in the basement all winter, okay? So they've been sending off new shoots.
Yeah.
And I remember you said, because I want to get some, I want to grow my own geraniums outside this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember you said, take off the new shoots, and which I did. And in early February, I put these new shoots in water.
Mm-hmm.
And the new shoots are throwing off some beautiful, tiny little leaves, but I have no roots.
Okay, so remember where the roots are going to come from. The little stems that you cut off the mother plant, were they a couple inches long, 2, 3, 4 inches long?
Yeah.
Okay, and at the time, there would have probably been some little leaves on the tips.
Yes.
And then if you look at those stems that you cut off, there's little horizontal lines on the stems, and at each of those little bumps or lines is a node. So you've got to make sure that you've got at least one or two of the nodes under the water, because it's at the nodes that the roots are going to emerge.
Well, I do. I have those under the water.
Okay.
I still get no roots.
Okay, don't worry about it. Again, you know what it is? It's the fact that the geraniums obviously it's winter. They still know it's winter. So there's no, we always see root formation, and particularly when we take cuttings, faster when the plants are actively growing. And we are just starting the process of active growth now. It's just early March. So, I you know what? Probably when we hang up the phone, you go look, you'll see some roots today kind of thing. Like, it's happening. It's just happening slowly.
Well, would I have a better chance of getting roots if I put them in really moist soil?
Not really. The one thing you could do to speed up roots if you're worried, excuse me, is use something called rooting hormone. Okay. So it's a powder or a liquid. Both are available at your local garden center. And you're just looking for what's typically called rooting hormone number one. And so that is, you're going to take out your little cut stems. You're going to dip the cut stems into the powder or the liquid, and you're going to shake off any excess, and then make sure that's clean water in your jar that you're using for the cuttings. Give that a little scrub, get some fresh water in there, and then put those cuttings back into the water, and that will speed up root growth. But as long as the stems are looking good, they're not rotting, they're not brown or discolored, I wouldn't worry about it. You are going to see roots imminently.
Okay, let me quick tell you that. The man who was covering for you last week, a caller called in about her geraniums. Mm-hmm. And what he said, cut off all the old growth, and you have the old plant. Mm-hmm. And he said, just grow, it'll grow into a new plant.
Right. That's true.
He said, like, cut off all the new growth, cut it all down.
Well, yeah, you would do that because we call that the mother plant.
Yes.
So you with that mother, if you cut everything down, I mean, obviously you don't want to cut it completely down because you can kill the plant. Nice to leave one or two bits of green on it. At this time of year now, we're going to see this big spurt of growth. So that mother becomes a really beautiful plant by cutting it back like that, because now it's super dense and lots of leaves, lots of flowers for this coming summer. The commercial growers have mother plants, just like you do, that they've kept from last year. And starting in January, February, they just start going through and they just take cuttings every week or so. And that's how they propagate all the little babies that we see for sale in the spring. So that's what you're doing right now, is you're looking at taking cuttings off of your mother plants to propagate for the coming summer. So cut away, like, you can cut anything off you want. If there's flowers, remove flowers, because the roots will grow faster if there's no flowers on those cuttings. But leave leaves.
Okay. Yeah, okay. They're throwing up new leaves, you know?
Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great.
All right. And don't hesitate again to fertilize that mother plant if you're really wanting it to push some growth on that to get more cuttings.
Okay.
But will the size, anything, the difference with the size of the flowers I'm going to get with the old plant versus the new plant?
No, they're clones. They should be absolutely identical.
Oh, okay.
Flower size and color, et cetera.
Interesting, okay, huh?
Terrific. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Ann. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, have a great day, and thank you for joining us here on Zoomer Radio. Oh, hey, we're staying stateside. Now, how about this? Now, wait a minute. Let me reach for the bell here, Charlie.
You're getting your exercise, too.
There we are. That's for Jim in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Jim, first-time caller. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good
morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Charlie, I gotta believe, first time I ever heard you, I couldn't see you. My telephone doesn't work. My radio doesn't work that well.
Oh, okay.
But I pictured you as a grown-up, big, old-time teenager.
I love it.
Then I hear you talking about you got grown-up kids. I can't be. She's not that old. Then I see you on TV, and I say, oh, I was right the first time.
And there you go. Wow. You are smooth.
You are.
Thank you, Jim.
I love it. Old-time teenager. Grown-up, old-time teenager. That's me.
Yes.
Never grow up.
They can make you get old, but they can't make you grow up.
That's absolutely
That's
true.
Right. Yeah.
So what's going on in your garden, Jim?
Okay, I have lots of tomatoes. I have no trouble with them. Mm-hmm. But cucumbers, I plant about six plants, and I got overhead netting for them. Mm-hmm. I get lots of flowers. Oh. But about half a dozen cucumbers. I've been told it's because we're short of bees, and I was prepared this year to go attack them with a Q-tip.
Yeah, you might have to.
But then I got a catalog that advertised a home for non-stinging bees, mason bees,
mm-hmm.
which sounded good to me.
Yeah, attracts them.
I figured I'd pick one of these up.
Yeah.
I never heard of mason bees before. Oh, there's the bees.
I'm not a bee expert, but I'm pretty sure mason bees are native bees in North America, unlike bumblebees and honeybees that have been imported. So, and they are solitary bees. So there's so many kinds of bees. We really only know bumbles and honey. We don't know all the 20, 30 others.
Beekeeper.
Oh, were you? Okay, so you know a bit about bees. But it's not just bees that pollinate the cucumbers. There's any of the flying insects. Remember when they do it is early in the morning, between about 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. And what you need in the case of cucumbers and squashes and zucchinis is you need the flowers open as the sun rises, but you need male flowers and female flowers opening together. And you need that insect population buzzing around, inspecting, checking out, picking up a bit of nectar and pollen, and they do the pollination for you.
Wow.
And the flowers will shrivel up a few hours later. So if you're going to be the bee, you're going to get out there with your Q-tip or your little paintbrush early in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I got up early now, huh?
Oh, yeah. And you got to recognize the difference between a male flower and a female flower.
Oh,
there you go.
Educate me.
So, just quickly, the easiest way I think to tell the difference is that the male flower is attached directly to the stem of the vine, whatever it is, cucumber, squash. The female flower has a little what we call a petiole. So it's got like a little stem that's attached to the flower that's attached to the main stem. So it's protruding off the stem. Yeah, that's an easy way to tell the difference. There's other ways. If you look closely, the reproductive organs are different. So if you look closely.
One to the other, to the other, to the other.
Yeah.
I also have a catalog. It says it's a pad of insect attracting plants. They suggest planting this near where you need bees.
Good idea. Absolutely. Oh. Pollinator-friendly gardens are the rage. All the rage.
That's, I have to give it a shot.
Yes. If you've got room and you've got sunshine, it's all about flowers. And typically the pollinator-friendly gardens, of course, are going to be flowering plants. So, you know, at least at 4 or 5 hours of direct sun every day. And, put that emphasis on growing flowers to attract pollinators, and you'll have a much happier garden.
Wow.
I got the tomatoes, no problem. All my neighbors get free tomatoes.
Nice.
Good stuff.
We'll be down to visit about in August with an empty bushel basket.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks,
Jim. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Delightful to welcome you to the show. Come on back anytime. You know, the door's always open.
And the coffee's always on.
Exactly. Hey, let me remind you of phone numbers. Now, we've been through a whole bank of callers, but...
But I haven't told you about my weekend,
when we come back, I have to take a little bit of a commercial break. Here. When we come back, we'll either go to the phone line or we'll talk about the Philadelphia Flower Show.
Or both, yeah.
It depends. It depends. Right. Phone numbers in Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Back with Charlie and the Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio in a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Frank Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden, and I'm delighted actually to spend just a little bit of time here talking about the Philadelphia Flower Show where Charlie was last weekend, and you had a great time, but boy, they really they put you through the paces there.
Well, no, it was great.
Yeah.
The organization that sponsored the trip is called Visit Philly, so they're obviously an organization that's really want to pump up tourism to Philadelphia.
Well, sure.
And it was so interesting. It's been many, many years since I was in Philadelphia. And so I got there at dinner time. We went for dinner the first night to a place called Tallulah's Garden. And so appropriate, right? And the food was magnificent. And I had roasted duck and of course, when you're in the restaurants, we're there as guests of Visit Philly, and the management of the restaurant knows that we are a media tour. So, of course, we've ordered our food, but before you know it, the chef is sending out a plate of this and a platter of that, and you must try this, and how about this? So you just We rolled out of that restaurant, went home to a lovely hotel called Aloft. So right two blocks away from the convention center where the show, the flower show was on, and right by the, right downtown historic, historic Philadelphia. I mean, there's so much history there.
Yeah.
Everything is so old. Right across the street is the oldest performing arts, like fine arts school, the Academy of Fine Arts. It opened in 1804.
Wow.
Right? And it's these beautiful historic buildings. Like, there's plaques everywhere just telling you the story behind the Masonic Temple was, like, right next door. And it's, like, over-the-top crazy architecture. So I've got pictures I'll show you later during our breakfast.
You amazed me, actually. We were talking off-air, and you showed me some of the website.
Well, okay, so wait. So this is Longwood. This is where I went last Saturday. Remember we spoke on the phone when Dennis was here? I was hopping on a bus to go to Longwood. So I'm just showing you quickly what I saw at Longwood, which was there's 4 acres of conservatories or greenhouses. Right now it's Orchid Extravaganza.
Yeah.
So tens of thousands of orchids. And if you're an orchid person, it's just, you'd be just in heaven because you'd be seeing all these different varieties. I'm not such a specialist of an orchid. Like, if Terry Kennedy had been there, she'd still be there.
Yeah.
But I'm just sort of like, wow, that's amazing. Show me something else, person. But I saw, like, the sweetest little children's garden. Everything is small scale. Water everywhere. Like, you know, dragons, fire-breathing dragons, and ducks shooting water. Just a lot of water fountains at Longwood. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things they're really famous for. So this inside, even inside, we had a really sweet little thing where the water would blow up out of a sort of a blowhole in a wall into a hole above in an archway where there was a bell. And so the water would go up and go boing, and the bell would ring, right? And it would just happen suddenly, like just out of nowhere. Suddenly this water would shoot up and this bell would ring. It was super fun.
What amazed me too, though, was the fact that you got those 4 acres of greenhouses. Mm-hmm. However, how many other acres did you
It's over 1,000 acres. I need to go back. I totally need to go back. I need to go back during, like, spring, summer, fall. Actually, I'd like to go in all the seasons. I'd like to be there when you can be outside and really seeing some of the outdoor fountains.
Yeah.
Light shows, music, water all over the place. Like, it's just the biggest ever. I found a lot of the biggest of everything in the United States. So the biggest of freestanding organ that is played is at Longwood in the original estate. Over 10,000 pipes. And you can see them.
Yeah.
You can go in behind and see them all. And at Christmas, they get most of their visitors at Christmas time, and there's Christmas carols nonstop and singing and music and lights and
Do you know,
trees.
It's funny.
And that's just Longwood. Like, that was just like a four-hour thing before we went to a wonderful restaurant called Terrain for lunch. It's just amazing, just amazing. And then another great restaurant and food for dinner. And then
I suspect there might have been a little wine imbibed.
A little bit. Not a ton. It was, you know, obviously, you don't want to, it's important to keep your head about you in those situations. But, it was just, then I was off to the flower show. I was there like all day Sunday and most of Monday. For photos, certainly, I'm on Instagram, charlie.dobbin. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter, @charliedobbin. I'm on Facebook, Charlie Dobbin. You can follow or see some of the photos that are posted on any of those. And so, certainly consider that if you want to see some photos, and consider going to the show if you can. It was so much fun.
Excellent. Okay, we're going to take another phone call here. We have in Barrie, Tanya on the line. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just had 2 mountain ash taken down this, like, a week ago because they died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of putting a lilac tree in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
It faces east, south, gets lots of sun till about 2 in the afternoon.
Okay. So when you're saying lilac tree, you're thinking of what's called an ivory silk lilac? Because that's a lilac tree.
I don't know what they're called, but I've seen them around Barrie, and they have like a nice lollipop look to them. They get tall, but it's nice for a subdivision because they don't get overly
big. Okay, you're talking about Korean tree. It's a standard, so they'll get 6, 7, 8 feet tall and as much as 3 or 4 feet wide eventually.
Oh, it looked higher than that. It looked about 15. 20 feet high.
Oh.
With white lilac.
Right. Okay. That's your ivory silk lilac then.
Ah, okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good choice.
What I'm interested in is I'd like to know how trouble-free they are.
Quite, actually. They're a very good choice for a couple reasons. One is they're pretty tolerant of most soil types.
Uh-huh.
They are quite tolerant of urban conditions, so meaning just salt and pollution, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
They're a nice size tree. As you said, the maximum 20 feet tall. They bloom a little later than our traditional lilacs, so they bloom more like late June, early July, but they are white. They're fragrant. Generally, pest and disease free. The only thing bad I have to say about them, one small thing, is that when the flowers are finished, they turn brown. So you go from these beautiful white flowers, fragrant flowers, to these sort of brown clumps in the tree, which will eventually, on a windy day, all sort of blow off. But there is a period where you've got those sort of brown blobby things hanging up there. When the tree is small, you can obviously go in and prune them out. But once it's 20 feet, you're not going to be able to do that. But then you don't really notice them when it's 20 feet either.
Well, I've noticed them. They look like a nice little shade tree.
Yeah.
Perfect for a subdivision.
Perfect.
Because they don't get too big.
Good choice.
What about roots? Do the roots come up? Like, I'm worried about it. It's going to be about 15 feet from the sidewalk and a driveway.
No, shouldn't be a problem. I mean, remember, when you're planting, you're going to plant it so that the top root, whether it's in a container or a root ball, is right literally on the surface of the soil. Mulch around your tree. Don't let the mulch touch the bark of the tree, but do a donut around the tree. Don't try and grow grass up to the tree. That way you won't have any problems with the whippersnapper or the lawnmower doing any damage to the bark. And when you're watering, water thoroughly and deeply. So don't just, again, water the lawn. Make sure you water your tree. The first couple of years, you want to stay right on encouraging deep roots with deep watering.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Well, I might just go with it. I was almost going to go back to a mountain ash because they just keep giving. They're just wonderful.
They are wonderful. They are a little more prone to some diseases, though, so that the lilac will be a little more trouble-free.
Oh, good. That's probably what happened to my two out mountain ash.
Yep, probably.
They just simply died. They were fairly old anyway, but okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tanya.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you indeed.
Look, you're going to get some exercise.
I know. We've got two first-time callers waiting on the line, and we'll get back to them here on the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin in just moments. And you are listening to AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Of course, in downtown Toronto, we're crystal clear at 96.7 FM.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's... Frank, reach for that bell.
Yeah,
there
get
you
that
go.
Exercise.
That's for Susan, who
in
is
Shelburne.
Calling from Shelburne, Ontario. Good morning, Susan.
Welcome
Good morning.
To
morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What's going on?
It's been very informative.
Good stuff. What's happening?
I have a question in regards to calla lilies that we purchase through the winter months, and I'm wondering if there's any chance they're beautiful from garden centers or from even the grocery stores, if they can be put into the garden through the summer.
Yep. Yep, you can. They are, when you purchase them, they were in leaf and flower, I assume.
Yes.
And are they currently in just leaf, or are there still flowers on them?
There's still flowers on them.
Cool. So you're obviously doing the right thing in terms of keeping them going, keeping them alive. So keep doing that. I would start some regular fertilizing, you know, every 2-3 weeks with a, you know, flowering plant fertilizer. And once we are frost-free, so in Shelburne, that might be late May, early June, you'll start the process, or once we start getting some nice weather, you'll start the process of hardening them off. So you're going to introduce them to the outside gently and slowly, an hour a day in the shade for a couple of days, and then in back into the house. And slowly but surely, you're going to be able to leave them outside. Once we're frost-free and the plants are ready to be out in the real world, you'll put them into a big container garden with other plants, or put them out directly into the ground in your garden, or leave them in the pots, bury the pots out in the garden. You can put them in a fairly low light location, so it doesn't, they don't need direct sunlight. They just need a bright, but can be, you know, it's quite a bit of shade at the same time spot, and enjoy them all summer. And then, of course, we're going to get some cool weather, shorter days, and they will start to go dormant all by themselves, just based on what the weather does. And if you want to save those bulbs, you'll bring them in and keep them frost-free for the winter, and then start them up again this time next year to go outside again.
Okay.
Okay, and so leave them in the pot outside, And do I leave them flower, keep them flowering this whole time, and they will continue to flower? There's no dormancy between now and 1st of June.
No, there shouldn't be. Not if you can keep them going. Keep them happy, healthy. Don't overwater. Don't underwater. Just keep them going. They will continue to be quite, you know, new growth based on the longer days. They should not go dormant at all until they'll start going into dormancy next September.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Let us know how that works out.
Yeah. Keep in touch.
Yeah, because they are beautiful. Right. Callas are beautiful.
Thank you.
And I've had no luck with the big ones, putting them in the beds here, but... going to give this a whirl.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
As you know, Charlie, every time calla lilies are mentioned, I go to my Catherine Hepburn shows up. The calla lilies are in bloom. Such a beautiful flower.
Yes.
All right. Monica, that's for you in Newmarket. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good sunny morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Gorgeous
day. Finally.
Yeah, until it starts raining later today.
I know. But as the sun's shining, we start to think about what's lingering under all that ice.
I know.
As my mother affectionately refers to as the glaciers on her property. I'm a huge fan of heucheras.
Me too.
My garden is transitioning into more of a shade garden. Mm-hmm. I'm loving heucheras, but I don't seem to have a lot of success with them.
Oh.
I know that sometimes in the spring they seem to get lifted out of the soil.
Charlie has just glanced at my face, which was like, in what the heck?
What's a heuchera?
I have no idea.
Coral bells is the common name, as if that means anything. What do you think a coral bell looks like, Frank?
Little bell.
It does. Yeah, the flowers are little bell-shaped flowers.
Okay.
They are low-growing, often used as a ground cover.
Yep.
So Monica's having some issues. See, coral bells
sometimes
love...
Sometimes they just don't thrive.
Yeah.
They start beautiful, and then they wither out.
Okay, so here's a couple of things I'd recommend. Are you gardening in a fair amount of clay where you are?
Yes.
Native soil, quite clay?
Newmarket, Ontario.
That's what I thought. So if you can, where you're planting fresh coral bells or moving them around, make sure you've got some very available, good quality compost. So 100% organic matter. Do a 50-50 mix with your native clay and this good quality, whether it's homemade compost or you purchase it in the bag. Do a mix. And when you're planting the coral bells, you're absolutely right. They do have a tendency to float up to the surface. As they get older, they get kind of woody and you start seeing a lot of stems.
Yeah.
But what I do in the spring when I'm sort of going through, I use a lot of leaves on my garden in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So chopped up leaves, which adds great organic material. Then in the spring, I literally go around on my hands and knees and I move the leaves around so that I expose those coral bells and I expose the little hostas. And so all these little plants can come up through the leaves. But I keep the leaves there. Heuchera or coral bells are what we call a semi-evergreen. So you will always have a bit of brown, shriveled up leaves, but you'll also have some nice fresh stuff there, literally. So leave the fresh, carefully just tear off the dried up, scraggly bits. But leave those leaves around the base. And I find they do well, summer in sun, summer in shade. They do the best when they're sort of half sun, half shade.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to group them by color because there's so many gorgeous colors.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Yeah, there's like 30 different purples, mm-hmm. leaves with all different silver variations. And then there's all the oranges and pinks and stuff. So, and I've got them all over my garden, same as you. They're a real favorite of mine.
When they get pushed up in the spring, should I be adding more soil around that or leave
you can.
It?
No, you can. You can certainly add more soil because remember our soil is always decomposing. Our good quality organic soil is always disappearing. So adding is never a bad thing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Monica.
Thanks for your show.
Thanks for calling.
It's nice to personally share with fellow gardeners. It's much more enriching than the online research experience. So
yeah, for sure. Better than a blog anytime. And we are a podcast, everybody. You can listen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here at AM 740 Podcasts. The Garden Show.
Whoops, look at that time.
Seconds.
Gone.
How'd that go?
Just seconds left. I don't know. What the heck happened there? Anyway, Charlie, been a pleasure
Shades
welcoming
of
you back.
What's to come? We're losing an hour today, and we just feel like that hour went pretty quick. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
I missed you. We had a nice chat last Saturday on the phone, though. We did. And thanks, Dennis, for filling in. Thanks, Sebastian, for being here for us. And all the great callers from all over the world.
You got it.
Very cool. Thanks for calling, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.